from Nashville, Tennessee, the country music capital of the world.
Let her go, boys.
Hello, darling. Nice to see you.
The closer you get, the further I fall.
Don't close your eyes, let it be me. Don't pretend it's him in some fantasy.
I find happiness is loving you.
Let the world call me. But if things are right with me and you,
I'm just a common man, drive a common van. My dog ain't got a pedigree.
Baby blue was the color of her eyes. Baby blue, like the Colorado skies.
Like a rhinestone cowboy.
Hello and welcome to the Rhinestone Opry. I'm your host, the Dance Hall Doctor, or just the Doc for short. If you recognize my voice, you either know me personally, or you have listened to some other shows that I've been part of. This one is going to be completely different. In the past, I have gone way over the top with trying to be a shock jock because I assumed that Filthy was funny. And don't get me wrong, a lot of it was. Not for everyone, certainly. Actually, not for most sane and normal people. And hey, I enjoyed the laughs and the attention that I got saying and doing those things, but I realized that even if you and others thought it was funny, even if you thought it was pee in your pants hilarious, you would not have admitted it to other people, and you definitely would not have recommended that they listen to it, lest they might have you committed somewhere. I get that, and that's truly a valid concern. So I'm hoping that this little project will be something that I'm not afraid for people who know me to be exposed to. And I'm hoping that it will be something that you won't be afraid to share with other people. Lots of other people. And I'm not going to be a politician and make promises that I can't keep. I'm not going to promise you that things will always be squeaky clean. Life is messy. And sometimes I say words that are on George Carlin's famous list. But sometimes when I get passionate about something, profanity happens. I'm also hoping to eventually get some folks to drop in on the show with me, and I want them to be relaxed and be themselves, so I'm not going to constrain them with censorship. Now, you've listened this long, and I still haven't given you any idea what this show is going to be like, other than that I'm not going to talk filthy, but will occasionally use adult vocabulary. But I'm an adult, and I've earned that. If you're not one, go ask one right now if you have permission to listen to this. Just make them download it or stream it on their device to help out my numbers a little bit. You might have guessed from the title of the show, The Rhinestone Opry, that this show is going to be about traditional country music, and I hope that the introduction to the show and me referring to myself as the Dance Hall Doctor have confirmed that you are correct. On this show, we are going to talk about some of my personal favorite artists, their musical catalogs, and how their songs have spoken to me or impacted me. I encourage you to write in to the show as well. I will give contact information at the end, and it will also be in the notes for the show. Tell me who some of your favorite artists are. You might even remind me of some artists and music that may have slipped my mind. You might also turn me on to some things that I have missed out on in the past. My plan is to let you know in advance who I will be discussing on upcoming episodes so that you will have the opportunity to write in, send me sound clips, or even join me through Skype if we can nail down a time that works for both of us. I'm not sure yet what the release schedule for episodes will be, so go over to iTunes or your favorite podcast app and subscribe to the feed so that you get the new episodes whenever they are released. I will also post updates on Facebook. Now, I will take a few minutes to pull back the curtain and give you some insight into what led me to put this show together. I'm a child of the early 80s. I grew up in a small town in Central Virginia where there are literally more cows than human beings. And interestingly, no matter where you are in the county, you are less than 1 mile away from a cow. And now I'm a vegan. I'm just pulling your chain. I love steak and burgers as much as anyone. But I'm lactose intolerant, and that's no joke. But anyway, my family was involved in raising beef cattle, some more involved than others. It's a quiet, rural community where everyone knew everyone as well as their business, and most of them were related. During my time living in the country, I saw the progression of things from rotary dial landlines to touchtone, cordless, and cell phones. Although some places still have not been blessed with cell service, I also saw computers progress from DOS to Windows and from dial-up to high-speed connections. Although some places still don't have DSL or cable internet, and have to get unreliable high speed via satellite, TV progressed from getting up to change the channel and rotate the antenna to point in the direction you needed it to be, or adjusting the rabbit ears and tinfoil to huge satellite dishes, smaller satellite dishes, and even cable if you were super lucky. Video entertainment went from just TV to those weird old laser discs, Betamax, VHS, weird new laser discs, DVDs, Blu-ray, and on-demand. And finally, musical entertainment went from vinyl to 8-track to cassette to CD to digital. All of this in a town that used a worry that lights would disturb bison on the farm next door as a reason to fight against the construction of a new gas station that might even encourage people from out of town to stop there. Now, I don't know exactly how finicky those bison are, and for those of you who don't know what a bison is, it's basically, it's a buffalo. Yes, there was a buffalo farm in this town as well as all the cattle. So, eventually the gas station was able to make its way into the town. Hopefully, no one is too bored or too pissed off at me yet for the way I've portrayed the place where I grew up. I'm not telling you all of this to give you a history lesson or to make fun of that place. The place where I grew up is a big part of the core of who I am today, and therefore it is probably a big part of the reason why this show is happening. You see, other than a little Jefferson Starship, some Phil Collins and Genesis, some Bob Seger, for the first 8 to 10 years of my life, country music was all that I heard. It's all that my parents listened to. The Jefferson Starship and Phil Collins were courtesy of my older sisters. But all that said, my basis in music was 80s country and the late 70s stuff still being played on the local radio stations. But back to the place where I grew up. You see, the world was changing, and my small town was not really ready to fully embrace all of those changes. In fact, it was very much ready to actively resist many of them, in hopes of keeping its traditional, small-town values and way of life in place. But the region around us was growing and positioning itself on the leading edge of the changes taking place. As my generation grew up, we wanted to embrace the changes so that we could stay connected to our peers and our world. And as we got older and ventured out for work and further education, we too embraced the changes more and more. It was a necessity. In order to be considered literate in the contemporary world, having skills that involve technology was essential. As the digital age networked the world into one big small town, my small town home became even smaller. And so did a lot of other rural agrarian communities in America. The very culture and identity of being country was evolving, and there was not much that the previous generations could do to stop it or even slow it down. And this brings me back to the music. I'm going to describe the evolution in country music to you the same way that I once described it to my best friend, who comes from the same small town but has almost zero interest in country music. Which is fine, because he turned me on to some music that opened my eyes up about what was going on in the rest of the world. Except, I'm going to go into a lot more detail for you, because his eyes glazed over after I got the first couple of sentences out. But I put it to him like this. At one time, country music was country people singing about life. And in today's era of urban and suburban sprawl, country music is mostly people from the suburbs or cities trying to grasp what the essence of the country lifestyle is like and making it relevant to everyone. And I'll explain more about why that is happening or has happened in a while. This usually involves infusing pop, rock, and hip-hop elements. Alert, I'm about to take a little detour on a tangent. I realize that there's a highly critical traditionalist movement out there that wants to totally discard contemporary country music as being of no value. And I'm certainly not going to say that I think all of today's country music is good. There are some catchy beats, lyrics, and song hooks out there. Here's where my criticism comes in. Most of today's country music is very shallow. It has picked up on some of the more exciting ways that people out in the country like to have fun. Moonshine, tailgates, field parties, Budweiser, mud bogging, big stereos, homemade wine. Seeing any themes here? But some of the poetry of the lyrics is gone. The sitting on the porch swing just looking at the stars is gone. The trials and tribulations of deep love and deep loss are missing. The things that used to be taken for granted as part of life in the country aren't there anymore. Maybe they aren't there in the country as much now either. Even if you are sitting on the porch swing, the glow of the porch light or the bug zapper, depending on the time of year and what part of the country you're in, has been replaced by the glow of a hands-free, Wi-Fi-capable device. But sometimes it's still nice just to sit back, put the device down, and enjoy the stillness and the quiet. And honestly, if there were more songs about these things, I think they would probably be hits. Because I think that deep down, most people in today's fast-paced, ever-changing, ever-moving world yearn for the ability to just enjoy a little bit of peace and quiet and stillness. They yearn for the ability to think about the simpler aspects of life without all of the complicating factors that society has layered on top of them. That's still available in today's world. If you live in the country, it might be right outside your door. If you don't live in the country, it's still alive and well in the traditional country music that we're going to talk about on this show. There are even a few contemporary artists and some up-and-comers who get it and are finding success in capturing the simplicity and beauty of everyday life, relationships, faith, family, and friends in song. There's also the business side of this as well. As mega radio corporations bought up many of the smaller terrestrial stations, program radio sought to cast as wide a net as possible and gain as many listeners as possible, so that means that the music getting play on the radio was less geared toward the traditional country audience and more toward a blended audience. At the same time, the recording industry was undergoing similar mergers and acquisitions, such that the labels that were once exclusively country were subsidiaries of conglomerate labels that wanted to maximize sales, just as conglomerate stations wanted to maximize listenership. The universal appeal and superstardom of country musicians like Garth Brooks in the 90s led corporate labels and radio to push for more and more entertainers who could gain that widespread audience, and in the process, the content of the music skewed further from the roots of traditional country. And as those of us who grew up farming know, the shallower the roots, the more fragile the plant. Actually, I was one of those people who was less involved in the farming, but that's what I hear anyway. Thus, you begin to see artists who gained quick fame, had a few hits, and then disappeared from the spotlight. Because the machine of the recording industry had no patience for anyone who wasn't consistently bringing in huge profits. It was on to the next guy or gal, and then the next. But recently, a handful of artists have hit the scene whose work has been more traditional, and they have been successful at tapping into those deep roots that are still there in the landscape of country music. Interestingly, most of these artists have come through talent shows like American Idol and The Voice, and a few have even become famous of their own right. You see, what the companies buying up record labels and radio stations didn't count on was the fact that the digital age would make them lose control of the tight grip they held over who makes it and who doesn't and who gets airplay. With online platforms, it is much easier for aspiring talent to make a video, post it to YouTube, disseminate it through various social media platforms, and build a grassroots following. Then they can even crowdsource funding to buy studio time and record their music and post it for sale on iTunes. Usually at this point, a label steps in and offers a contract, and you end up with traditional country talent like William Michael Morgan on the radio singing his smash debut single, I Met a Girl. As soon as he released this single, I knew it was going to number one. And the win for his label is that he already has a following. He's already done the dirty work of building a loyal fan base. They just had to take it to the next level. In that way, the culture of country has come full circle. The advances that alienated so many from the experience of country living have now enabled those who appreciate traditional country music to identify artists whose music reflects their interests and even propel them to stardom, in spite of what the record execs that they might have pitched to before may have said about them. And guys and gals with aspirations of stardom have been able to gain levels of success that might not have been possible 25 years ago. Even if they don't gain megastardom, they are able to use the platform of the internet to be seen by thousands more people than they would have ever played to in decades of touring around honky-tonk bars. Hell, I've been excited in the past that several hundred people out of the 7.5 billion in the world cared enough about what I was saying to tune in and listen to it. So now we're down to brass tacks. I've told you about me and how I think country music got where it is today, and a little bit about what kind of music I'm going to highlight on each episode. If you were into artists like Conway Twitty, George Strait, George Jones, Johnny Paycheck, Merle Haggard, Dolly Parton, Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson, Reba McEntire, Ronnie Millsap, Tammy Wynette, Alabama, the Oak Ridge Boys, the Statler Brothers, Loretta Lynn, Lori Morgan, and hopefully lots more, keep tuning in. On each episode, I will tell you about the artists, their life, the people and events that inspired them, and what really speaks to me about their music, both the instrumentation and the lyrics. And who knows, those of you who have heard me podcast before know that I have a tendency to break out into song once in a while, so I might even do a little bit of karaoke to pay my tribute to some of my favorite artists and their work. I'll warn you in advance so you can turn the show off, though. Well, there it is. Now you know who I am and what I intend to talk about on the show. So here's how you can get in touch. You can give the show's page a like on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/rhinestoneopry. Or follow on Twitter at Rhinestone Opry. Send emails to rhinestoneopry@gmail.com. Make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes and leave some love over there while you're at it with a review. I keep wanting to say follow us or like us or email us because I'm so used to doing a show that includes other people. Who knows, maybe one day. But until then, put some money in that jukebox, crank it up, cry in your beer, and be good to each other.